Police work in a small city is a mixture of exhilaration and boredom. There is an occasional violent crime, but officers more often deal with the mundane, traffic accidents, complaints about parked cars. For the final part of our series about policing in America, NPR's Brian Naylor spent time with the force in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Dan Brady has been a cop in Lowell, Massachusetts for 19 years. He's of average height, his hair is still dark, and he has a wicked New England accent. We're riding in his police cruiser over what to Brady are some very familiar streets.
I was brought up in Lowell. My father worked construction, my mother was a homemaker. I went to Lowell High School, and so I'm actually very much from this area.
Lowell is an archetypal New England mill town. It grew up along the banks of the Merrimack River, which are lined with long two- and three-story brick factories dating back to the 19th century. French-speaking immigrants from Quebec settled here, mixing with Greeks and others from Europe and the Yankees. Now in this city of 105,000, the immigrants are from Asia and Africa, and Officer Brady has seen it all.
It's changed a lot. The city of Lowell itself has changed a lot. I remember as a kid this river being a different color every day. From the mills, the dye mills. It'd be green from the dye. And I'd go, come back from school, walk back from school, it'd be red in the afternoon. Years ago, would never have even thought who would come to Lowell. You know what I mean? It's like Flint, Michigan. I mean, what have we got here? But we've got a lot now.
The resurgence has been recent. Just 10 years ago, violent crime was common. Drug abuse was rampant. The mills abandoned. And there were far fewer police on the force, about 150 officers compared to 230 today.
And it was a lot crazier. Now, with just the influx of all the police, the visibility and everything, it's calmed down. You always get the domestics. They'll always be there. Issues, substance abuse and all that stuff. But it's changed. It's not like the crazy, crazy calls that we used to always have, gun calls. You still have that, but it's...
Now the once abandoned mills are fancy condominiums. Some house startup technology companies. A few still even spin textiles. Today, Brady drives car 3. He works solo in the Belvedere district, a comfortable mixture of working-class neighborhoods and landscaped mansions. He likes his job, likes being out on the street, what he calls the freedom of being on patrol.
You know, I couldn't picture myself sitting behind a desk. This is Middlesex Street here. This here years ago, Friday and Saturday nights, from 10 o'clock on till probably 4 o'clock in the morning, this was a traffic jam. You couldn't drive up this street. The prostitutes were all over the place. These were flop houses, these apartments here.
The street was cleaned up, and violent crime in Lowell, as in most American cities, has been on the decline since its peak in the early 90s. A lot of the drop is due to economic factors and to the end of the 80s crack epidemic. Lowell Police Chief Ed Davis, though, cites another factor, the Federal COPS Program. Initiated by the Clinton administration, it provided cities such as Lowell the money to hire additional officers.
The drop in crime was so date-specific and so dramatic that it was clear that the strategies that we put in place here, along with the assistance that we received from the federal government to hire the 100 new police officers, made a big difference in the look and the feel of the city.
Those additional 100 cops allowed Davis to implement community policing, a popular philosophy that takes a preventative approach to crime. The result, the rate of serious crimes in Lowell dropped some 60% since the early 90s.
This coming week will mark a one-year period of time where we have not had a homicide in the city, which is very, very unusual. We're holding our breath right now, hoping to get through the year.
But moments after the chief uttered those words, downstairs, the radio room received a call.
911, this line is recorded. What is your emergency? Somebody go, what? Whereabouts? Okay, stay on the line with me, okay? Angie?
45 Branch Street, we have a report. There's been a shooting. White football jersey and long black hair.
Can you see me?
Right. What nationality?
Sounds like there's a victim of a shooting and they're looking for a vehicle.
Flooding that vehicle.
It's the suspects. They're driving it.
Among the officers on patrol this evening are Danny Perrin, who has been on the force 8 years, and his partner for this shift, third-year officer Brian Kinney. They're keeping an eye out for a suspect vehicle, but the shooting occurred outside their patrol area. So Perrin, an ex-Marine, says tonight's basically another routine evening.
Board him. Driving around board, waiting for something to happen.
Can I help you?
Yes, I can. I get 2 medium iced coffees, both with cream and both with 2 sweet and lows.
How
do you feel?
No,
that's it. Thank you.
Kinney and Perrin patrol a more modest neighborhood of multi-family homes. On this warm summer evening, families gather on porches, baseball teams play in neighborhood parks. The officers have grown familiar with the area. They know where the troublemakers live and hang out.
Guys, keep the beer up on the property, all right? Thanks. Yeah.
Perrin frequently attends community meetings where the biggest concerns, he says, are very local in nature.
Quality of life issues, noise, parking complaints, that kind of thing. It's the most complaints we hear.
As Perrin and Kinney drive through a working-class neighborhood, a young man on a bicycle begins pedaling furiously away from their marked car.
I didn't see his face. Which, this kid on the bike?
Oh, yeah. He's way in front of him.
Yeah, he may actually have a warrant.
Regular
troublemaker kid that
sped off.
Yeah.
They know where the young man lives, and while Perrin goes up to the house, Kinney confirms the juvenile is wanted on an outstanding warrant.
Go ahead, Jim.
Can you confirm a warrant? Date of birth 3/13 of 9.
The officers cuff him and place him in a van to take him to the county juvenile lockup.
Have a seat. Hold on to the bar.
Afterwards, neither officer seems particularly exhilarated or proud of the arrest. It's just another night on the job.
If he would have started hopping fences, I'm not 100% sure I would have chased him.
And I probably would have, because that's the difference between 3 years and 8 years.
Perrin and Kinney's cruiser is equipped with a laptop computer, which allows them to check for such things as outstanding warrants and look up car license plates. There's also the standard issue lights and siren, which Kinney switches on later that evening as he responds to a traffic accident. It's a fender bender. The two drivers each accuse the other of running a stop sign. No one is hurt, and Officer Kinney decides not to charge anyone.
You're a decision maker out here. You're kind of a decision-making machine. 8 hours a day, and making a split-second decision that affects the lives of people can be stressful to anybody. There is a lot of discretion, but you need that to police properly. Otherwise, you just put robots out here.
Still, Kinney spends some 45 minutes writing up a report on the accident, the part of the job all officers dread.
The paperwork. Very frustrating. Everything is paperwork. That can get extremely frustrating.
Since Dan Brady joined the force in the mid-1980s, much about policing has changed. Along with all the reports and documentation to be filed, there's a lot more training. Many officers now have college degrees and go to mandatory on-the-job training sessions a couple of times a year, covering everything from firearm proficiency to changes in criminal law.
Education was not a priority back then. The cops that trained me, great guys, but street cops, very, very streetwise individuals, hardcore. You know, they were tough. Now it's more educate, talk, you know, listen.
With a nod to Lowell's diverse population, police also attend cultural sensitivity courses. Last night's homicide victim was a young Cambodian man, an echo of the violence, much of it gang-related, that's plagued Lowell's large Cambodian community. The department has employed a number of approaches, from hiring Cambodian officers to enlisting the help of a Buddhist monk as a mentor to gang members. Today, the police department has turned to Sarah Kuhn, a 28-year-old Cambodian-born community liaison.
Police department,
ចាមកពយោប្រាប់ប្រជាជនថានៅម្ដុំនេះពីរឿងកើតហេតុមិនសមមិនថាគេបាញ់គ្នាចាថា
She, along with two other Khmer speakers, have been sent into a Cambodian neighborhood to assure shopkeepers and residents that last night's violence was an isolated act.
For the Cambodian community, the history with authority and policing goes back to the home country. Here, we look at the police as heroes. They're there to protect and serve the community, whereas in Cambodia, there's definitely a lack of trust.And for the Cambodian community, police will be the last people that they will contact or that they will, you know, come to for help.
There were no community liaisons when Dan Brady joined the force. He says the police department, when he joined it, was largely Irish. There have been a lot of other changes, too.
Now we have precincts. Precincts. Who ever heard of cops on bicycles? We'd be like, what? Bicycles? Are you kidding me?
And unlike in the Cambodian community, residents of the wealthy neighborhood's Brady patrols are not reluctant to call on the police, many times for the most mundane complaints.
Quality of life issues, that became a big thing. You know, the guy over here would never get calls that he didn't take his barrels in yesterday, now they're blowing down the road. Who cares? But now it's a typical, you know, especially up here, you get different types of calls, you got to deal, you got to sit a little longer.
Officer Brady remembers his first day on the job, sitting on his couch at 2:30 in the afternoon, fully dressed in his new uniform, waiting for the 5 o'clock start of his shift. He's a little less bushy-tailed now, perhaps, though he still likes the work, and is a little wistful about some of the changes he's seen on the force.
Years ago, my friends were all police officers. Are they wives? Are they girlfriends? And now it's kind of like, you don't see that as much, that close...Always will be a close group, but posting up, for example, a Red Sox game, you'd have to fill up 2 buses. Now, 1 bus, maybe.
Brady isn't sure what he'll be doing down the road. He says it may be time for him to take the sergeant's exam, but he's not in any great rush, still enjoying being out on the street. Brian Naylor, NPR News.
You can hear more from Lowell's Finest, see pictures, and hear other stories from our series about policing in America at our website, npr.org.